You are now tuned in from the Desk of Low, brought to you by from the That Feeling Podcast Network. If you have a dream, go get it.
Welcome back from the Desk of Low. I have with me an up-and-coming artist. He's actually Norm and Mac P been putting me on to him recently, and then I've been bumping the Ballad of Goldie. I've been fucking with this guy's music heavy, like Infamous Villains. So if you already know those ones, I already got Kay Burns on the phone.
Yo, 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 gang, 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 shit.
Let's start this off.
What up, man?
I'm just in the lab cooking, sir, I just want to start this off right, sir. Happy New Year's.
Likewise. Same to you, my dude.
So let's start this off, sir. Where did the K Burns story start out, sir?
The story of K Burns goes back to October 27th. 1986, the Mets is playing Boston Red Sox in the World Series, and my mom is sitting there with my whole family watching the World Series, and when the Mets won, my mom went in labor with me, and so it began right there,
And then
humble beginnings in Brooklyn.
Oh, so it all began in Brooklyn, so,
came in Brooklyn, man.
When did you first find your passion for rap, K-Bones?
Well, I started rapping. I got an uncle on my father's side. My father's family is from Marcy Projects and everything, and I always had an uncle that was rapping and stuff, but he had did some time in prison, and when he came home when I was about 12 years old, I watched him freestyle one day, and he just was in the crib on the voice recorder. I'm watching him just freestyle, and I'm like, yo, I like this. And he took me to the studio, and ever since then, it's just been like, that's what I wanted to do with my life. It wasn't going to be baseball. I knew it was going to be rap for sure.
Did you have to play around with a bunch of different names before you took rap serious, or did you always go by?
I had one name before that, man. I used to go by Face Murder. I had took my father's street name of Face, and I just added like the murder to it back then, just being young and rapping about guns and all that shit that we was all just exposed to and everything we had our hands into. But as I got older, everybody just always called me Burns, always referred to me as my last name. And it was just like, yo, why not be myself? Why make something up? Be me. That's what I am. I'm me.
So you didn't have to, play around with a bunch of different stage names. You actually, got right to it with just K Burns.
Yeah. I mean, some of my closest friends still call me Face to this day. It slips out. Like, if you hear somebody call me Face, that means that dude been around me since I was at least 12, 13 years old.
When did you actually first lay something on wax, sir? Because I seen from your Bandcamp, you appeared on Rap City in 2007.
My first time on wax was actually in 98. 98 was the first time I was on wax. I was 12 years old, and my aunt boyfriend had heard me rapping, and the dude went and took a room in the back room and just, made a makeshift studio for us and had us in there every damn day working. Shout out to my guy Quan. Free Quan, wherever he at. I know my dude during that time, but free that man.
That explains why you're so nice.
I appreciate it, bro. I really appreciate that shit.
Big facts, I only keep it a buck. And curious too, let's take it back, because like I said, I always got to do my research on my guests, and from my notes, you appeared on BET Rap City Freestyle Cypher in 2007, if I got my facts straight.
Yes, that's actually correct. That's correct.
I'm curious, do you think that was the first major look for K Burns back then? Man, because I was only in I think I was in high
definitely.
School.
Definitely. I think that's what pretty much separated me from the rest of the guys around my way. That kind of pretty much so Brooklyn, it pretty much separated me from everybody else, because my debut mixtape hadn't even dropped, and I was 21 years old, and I was already on Rap City, and I remember telling my friends growing up, yo, if I'm not on Rap City before I'm 21, I'm quitting rap. I used to be joking like that, telling them that, because I was a kid running home every day to watch Rap City straight after school. I was watching Tigger in the basement. I used to dream about being in the basement, So to even have that opportunity right after they shut that whole basement shit down, and for them to revive it and reach out to me, and shot stimuli and artists of that caliber at that time, man, it was mind blowing. Nothing's never been the same ever since then.
Facts. Being a Seagull voice from Taxstone, because like how you said, when you're running home to watch Rap City. Yo, I did that in high school. I ran home just to watch Rap City.
Yeah, I used to really like just to see Tigger air your favorite rapper out. I didn't even go to see Rap City. I didn't care who was on it. Like, I had friends that was on Rap City. Like, yo, see my man Mouse Murder too, man. My man Mouse Murder just got 21 years of some bullshit, man. But Mouse Murder was another influential dude in my life too, you know what I'm saying? Because Mousey was on Rap City 14, 15. He was Foxy Brown. And I'm looking at Mouse and I'm looking at Haz Hood. He's my guys from the hood. He's the older dudes a couple of years older than me I'm looking up to. And they in the basement. And that shit was like, yo, it was so close. It's right there in my face, you know what I'm saying? I just got to keep going. So, like, that, it was a passion. Like, I seen niggas that I personally know on it. You know what I'm saying? I had to get on it. It was a must.
Well, and then, as we're going to, like I said, I doing my research, seeing you appeared on Sway in the Morning, one of my influences. I'm like, yo, Sway? You got down on Sway with Bars, my G? Can you give me that, how that went down?
Yo, that whole day was like, when I put that whole day in perspective, because I like to look at things in hindsight and really, like, review what happened. That day was crazy. I was actually working, I was doing a junior accountant job. I was a junior accountant. No, that's why I'm really good with finance and business. But I got the word that they was doing budget cuts. They laying me off. You know, I got my daughters and shit. I'm like, damn, my nigga tried to get out the streets, and this is what happens. So I was home with the kids feeling bummed out, you know what I'm saying, in the crib. And it was like kind of like late night, like 9-ish. I'm like, let me go get some weed before it get too late. So I walked down to the hood to get some weed. And usually I go get some weed and just turn right back around and go home. But for some reason that day, I was like, yo, I'm in the hood. I need to go see my grandma and my mom and them. Now, we live right, like, our house is literally 100 yards from Barclays Center. The Barclays Center, where the Nets play, and where all the Brooklyn Boxing and all the concerts and everything, Barbara Streisand, solo concerts and all that,
yeah.
That's the corner of my block, bro. So I'm walking down my block from one end, and Sway coming from the end of the Barclays, you know what I'm saying? And it's a scaffold on my block at the time. And this is my block. Like, we do dirt on this block. This is my block. With who the fuck is that walking down my block? So this is my disposition. I'm walking and I'm looking, and as I'm about to go on my house and turn my key, I notice that nigga look like Sway. That shadow looks like Sway. But I'm looking for the dreads coming under the big hat, and he don't got the dreads, and that kind of threw me off. So I had said, like, yo, I know that ain't Sway, but I'm on the phone talking to the homie. You know what I'm saying? And he said, yeah, it is. So I let a couple of seconds go by, and I said, yo, I can rap for you? And he said, yeah. But I was already walking in my house expecting him to say no, because, you know, celebrities be on some bullshit when they're in New York. They be standoffish, especially in Brooklyn. But when he said, yeah, I jumped down the steps, literally. I jumped down 8 steps, out of breath and all that. And gave that nigga, I gave him like about 75 bars. If he wouldn't have stopped, I'd probably still be out there rapping right now to that nigga. You know what I'm saying? And it was him, Rich Nice, Kelly Kincaid, and they was like, yo, we got to bring you up. And I'm thinking they bullshit. So I'm like, yo, you know, take my number. I'm telling you now, you take my number and I'll take yours. I'm going to be your butt. This way was like, yo, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be a man of my word. I'm going to bring you up there. He said, give me a month. He said, if I could, I'll bring you up there tomorrow, but give me a month. I'm like, all right. So I ain't think nothing of it. You know what I'm saying? I'm back to work the next day because I know I'm getting laid off in a couple of days. Tell my dog that work up in the IT department, like, yo, I met Sway last night. He's like, yo, you don't even know what's about to happen for you, bro. You over here talking about you magic, firing you. We ain't supposed to be here in the first place. I'm like, all right, we gonna see. I go back to my desk. Rich Nikes had called me. Like, yo, we was talking about you on the radio today. We bring you up a little bit faster than we thought. So, you know, I was sitting back probing because I was in the process of, you know, coming out to Florida to fuck with my homies anyway, how I always do. And the dude really called me about 2 weeks before I was about to skate out of here. And, you know, I did that whole radio freestyle and shit. No disrespect to the producer. You know, I fuck with my nigga A+. That beat was doo-doo. And I ain't care. Like, it was the opportunity. And I was going to let the world know I rap to a motherfucking teardrop. If you let me. You know what I'm saying? So I just did what I did. I did what I did in Bernie fashion. You know, I always throw a little joke in there when I'm freestyling and let niggas know I'm freestyling. You know? And it went like that. And it's just been history ever since. I can count how many times I've been in Brooklyn since that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's actually inspiring to hear, too, because, like, you're thinking, like, yeah, this guy ain't gonna call me and stuff like that, but for, like, to him to be, like, we'll bring you up a little bit faster than expected, too, it's like, wow, man, it's like, yo, I got something with this. So that's, like, that lets you know right there. Did that let you know right there that you had something?
Yeah, I'll never forget that day, man. Like, it was, he called me up on like a, on a Thursday. I was at my uncle's studio at the time. Matter of fact, yeah, I was at my uncle's studio. I was flat, but just chilling. And I got that call like about 11:30 that night. Like, yo, you ready to come up tomorrow? I'm like, yeah. I ain't got no haircut or nothing. I'm like, yeah, I'm coming up tomorrow. We there. You know what I'm saying? Call my young bro, Jay Guardia up. Yo, Jay, it's time to go, bro. We've been waiting for this our whole life. Let's go. You know, the only nigga that need to be up there with me, my nigga. And I took my little brother, Jay Guardia, up there because I felt he needed to see that shit. We went up there and did the damn thing, my nigga. Shout out to Neek Buck. Shout out to my nigga, Gashi. All of that, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? And the ultimate blessing was when I finished that freestyle, the most surreal shit to me is and from the artist that I am and the influence that I took on, when I turned around, Earth, Wind, and Fire was standing there.
Oh, jeez.
And me and my bro, Jay Guardi, I never turned to a fan in my life. And when I met Earth, Wind, and Fire, I couldn't do nothing but just jump up and down, screaming, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and say, oh, my God, and just grab them and hug them. Like, oh, wow, like, that's Earth, Wind, and Fire. You know what I'm saying? It was just crazy. I think about that day so much. You know what I'm saying? Anytime I think about throwing a towel in with this shit, it's like, nah, we can't do that. Earth, Wind, and Fire met me. You know what I'm saying?
and plus, yo, you on Sway in the Morning, like, you know how big Sway in the Morning, that's a good look, like, that, and that video, that face got a lot of views, too. I peeped that video today and the other day. I was like, yo, this shit fire right here.
Man, I've been touring ever since. I've been on the road doing my own tours and my own shows, and the label Team Fame Music Group has been launched as an LLC in the official business due to that situation right there. You know, we ain't been playing with this shit ever since.
So, as we get into that, too, would you say your first official EP, really? Because you got a lot of EPs. I won't front on that. I'm surprised no one...
And the EPs just came about this year. Like, I always wanted to do them, but I always was kind of, like, skeptical about doing them. Because since 2007, I've been dropping mixtapes of, like, 20 tracks and better. Freestyles, yeah. All of that, whatever you want. So, it was, like, to do the mixtapes and condense all those thoughts into the short project, it was a good experience for me.
Okay, so before we get into those EPs, too, let's say, like, during your mixtape days, like, after Sway in the Morning, too, let's say, like, what was the mixtape you released after that interview? I mean, sorry, after that freestyle on Sway in the Morning.
Well, right after that, like literally after that, when I did the Sway in the Morning situation, I was actually in the process of working on this project with my guy, Ryan Keys. He's a producer from Kalamazoo, Michigan, that raps and everything. But he had told me he kind of was getting tired of rap and he was going to go back to music school or try to find some other shit. So he had threw me a bunch of beats. And I was working on that project. But, you know, not even to be funny, one of my homies, like, after the Sway in the Morning shit, he was like, yo, we should do some other shit with your music now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's getting bigger than us. And that's how I came up with the whole Stoner Life project. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just sat down one day, ate some fucking mushrooms. And the next morning, I just woke up and went to the studio and just recorded a whole project. Like, I heard it in my head. So I had dropped Stoner Life, and I went on, like, a Stoner Life tour of, like, 8 different cities. Like, wherever I could pull up and get on the mic or pull up and just spread the word of the music, I was doing that off of that project. And I did that for, like, 2 years after that, from, like, 2015, 2017. I was just pushing, just 2 projects. So before that, I think I put out too much music, and it wasn't getting the right response. So I just focused on pushing one project and one brand and everything fully, you know what I'm saying? And that helped me a lot, and that's how I ended up growing to the EPs, because Stoner Life was my first EP, you know?
Oh, so that makes sense why you threw it up on your Bandcamp.
Yeah, and it also was my first time putting out a physical project in about 5 years, because from 2007 to all the way to 2010, 2011, I was on the streets with it. My first mixtape, I pressed up 5,000 copies. Me and DJ On Point had a mixtape called Brooklyn Gangster, my very first mixtape. So I was a kid printing up 5,000 copies or 1,000 copies and selling shit for $1. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. So that's how I started. And like I said, I condensed that all to a smaller project. And when I had stopped putting out the physical products, when I came back with the Stoner Life repackaged with the Diddy pack and everything, and, you know, I got my graphic arts background and everything, I just repackaged myself through a big release party and everything right on in the hood, and it was just crazy, you know, the response was crazy, and ever since then I've just been able to, like, not only do the digital thing but also still the physical new copies, and it's kind of like the mixtape grind I'm used to from back in the day when I was grinding on the corners, just trying to get the mixtapes out there, you know what I'm saying?
I'm curious, K-Bird, what was high school like for you?
High school was very, I didn't take full advantage of the access to the resources that I had in my high school. I went to a very prestigious high school. I went to the High School of Art and Design. Like Mark Echoes has went there. Ralph Lauren has went there. If you're from the hip hop world, I'm sure you know Prodigy and Havoc. Both they met in art and design. Mobb Deep met in art and design. You know what I'm saying? Pharrell Marsh went to my school. I went to school with ASAP Ferg. He's 2 years younger than me. I remember ASAP Ferg coming into art and design, and I remember his name before he was ASAP Ferg. You know what I'm saying? So high school was very fun. I met a totally, I don't even know, like, it was a plethora of the type of people that I met in that population, but it was like, it was really fast. I was heavy in the gang banging. I had just discovered going out of town, getting money. Like, I got locked up for a gun and fucked up my baseball scholarship. Like, high school was just a whole roller coaster for me, but it was the best time of my life, and it taught me so much. You know what I'm saying? I was able to just venture out and not be confined to Brooklyn being in high school, because I went to high school in Manhattan. You know what I'm saying? So it just opened up the whole New York City and state to me.
Yeah, because usually high school, it's either what makes or breaks you. That's what I say.
You know what's funny? A lot of people went through that in high school. I went through that shit in seventh grade. Like, my little brother had got killed. He had got ran over by a truck when I was 12 years old. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure that's what kind of pushed me toward the rapping. You know what I'm saying? Because I had to release that tension some kind of way. I was, like, already gangbanging and shit. You know, I went through a lot in junior high school. You know what I'm saying? I think what a lot of dudes went through in junior high school kind of overrides what they go through in high school, if they really, really was the zone and deal with themselves right then and there. Because I was wilding. I was having sex at 12 years old. I shot myself in the hand. You know what I'm saying? All kind of shit. So like, when a lot of dudes went through in high school, I already been there and done that. Like, you know, the only thing that was for me in high school was to either, you know, get killed or get locked up. Luckily, I didn't get killed. I went to juvie and never went back. You know what I'm saying? So that was a blessing in disguise as well. You know?
Yeah, and it also just, like, taught you, too, how to move better, too.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, I come from downtown Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up two blocks from Biggie Smalls. So, like, I watched these guys get signed, and I watched these guys get locked up, and I watched these guys run from the cops, and I watched these guys hang out with Tupac. You know what I'm saying? So I've seen the right way to move and how to conduct myself, and I think that helped me also navigate my way through this game, because I was fucking up for a while, man.
Would you say, too, like, being from, like, being born in the 80s, too, like, what's your views on, like, people born in, like, 91 disrespecting the legends? Because I can't stand when people, like people like my age be doing that. It just makes us look bad.
Well, you know, I'm an 80s baby. I was born in 86. And anybody that's from the 80s or anybody, like, I know y'all young guys out there that's listening, you know, or the older dudes or any of you internet niggas, y'all watch these documentaries and y'all probably get a vibe of what the 80s was like, especially in New York City. But you had to have been there. You had, like in the 80s, everybody stuck together. There was no division. You know what I'm saying? Like, the 80s was fucked up. Graffiti everywhere, stray dogs, killings, robberies, all kind of shit. But the sense of community and the sense of respect was there. Like, I don't see guys helping old ladies take their bags up the steps. You know what I'm saying? I used to see the guys that was the local drug dealers and shit. When the old ladies come by, or the older women in my neighborhood come by with bags, they stop what they're doing and go grab them bags and help them up the steps. You know what I'm saying? I don't see that no more. So I think a lot of the morals and values of the 80s was lost, and that's why, you know, you may feel the way you feel towards the kids of the 90s, but I don't really feel that way towards the kids of the 90s. And I guess it's because I got brothers that age, and I kind of understand where they come from, but, you know, the disrespect towards the legends, it's kind of a two-way street, because being 32 years old, I'm right dead smack in the middle, you know what I'm saying? And I see, like, I can understand how a lot of the younger dudes feel like the legends disrespect them, you know what I'm saying? So it's a two-way street, and that's one of those gray areas, I think, that has as a community, we got to really sit down and address that shit the right way. Because we can't just blame the young guys out there. You know what I'm saying? We didn't teach them. You know what I'm saying?
You know, OC from Digging in the Crate said the same thing when I asked him that question.
Yo, shout out to DITC. I'm so happy to see them doing their thing right now. I feel like a kid again watching all these young rap, like these young dudes gravitate towards the older rap group that was out when I was a kid. Like, yeah, listen to that. That's that shit right there.
Yo, that's the shit I love right there, man. I love that night.
I love it, yo. I love it. And I just was talking to Sticky Fingers and I was telling them about that shit. Like, yo, I love it. I love it. I can't get enough of it. When I see it, I love it. What up? I'm doing this interview right now. Yeah, I love it, man.
I was curious too. When you were coming up too, so let's like fast forward to 2018 too, when you really got on your grind too. Kilo Dreams EP, that was your first release of 2018?
Yeah, that was my first 2018 release.
And you put out cassettes with that release too, I've seen. What inspired that?
Say that again?
What inspired the cassettes with that release, too? Because, like, the one that... actually, it's my most favorite project from you is Infamous Villains, but we'll get into that after.
Oh, I appreciate that. What made me try the cassettes was just trying a different format, you know, and I wanted to bring it back. I wanted to give people something that was, like, physical, a physical piece of history. Like, you know, the CD's cool and everything, but you know, I knew that putting the cassettes, I was going to raise some eyebrows and turn some heads. And it was just cool. It was something cool. I never designed a cassette cover before. It was a challenge to myself. I had to do all my graphics on my phone. 2018, my fucking computer got broke, and all of that shit. But you know, just to go through that whole process of putting out Kilo Dreams is like dope. And it's just like, you know what? This needs to be a cassette. This is a historic tape. I know the blood, sweat, and tears that I put into that tape. I wanted to just try something different, bro.
Man, I was going to say, too, because that project goes hard, but as we're coming to your second one, would you say Ballad of Goldie, that was your second release of 2018?
Yeah. Ballad of Goldie is actually my personal favorite project that I did for myself, you know, because it was inspired by one of my favorite movies, and that's The Mac, you know what I'm saying? One of my older cousins introduced me to that movie, The Mac, when I was about 8 years old. I just fell in love with that movie ever since.
I was going to say, that had a very good, like, that movie kind of vibe to that, too. Like, when I listen to the song, like, The Come Up, or, like, even, like, the or even Fuck the Neighbors, too, with Rome Streets. I was like, yo, man. I was like, yo, this guy really knows his lane.
I mean, you know what it was, honestly? I studied Curtis Mayfield when I was, like, I really, really studied Curtis Mayfield, and I really watched the whole making of Superfly, like, the score. So I understood what a movie score was versus a soundtrack. You know what I'm saying? When I was selecting a beast from Ballad of Goldie, I was like, a lot of that stuff from Ballad of Goldie could have made it to Kilo Dreams just because the beast was hot, but it did not fit Kilo Dreams. You know what I'm saying? And I wanted to just make something that was cinematic, something that was just, wow. I think Ballad of Goldie might be one of those projects that you could pop on 20 years from now. Like, oh, who is this dude? You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to definitely do that. And I live for blaxploitation movies. Like, I live for them shit. So it was just so dope for me to do that. And I felt like Curtis Mayfield in the booth. I mean, I don't give a fuck what nobody say. I don't love hearing his name. I'm Curtis Mayfield a rap. Dead serious. On the soundtrack, I'll add Bernie. I'll give you the movie score.
But, hey, go listen to Ballad of Goldie. It's big facts.
Appreciate that,
love. Anytime, my G. The Historians too, is all the beats by The Historians on that project?
Yo, those first two titles is honestly all Historian. Like, I was like caught in the world with The Historians, just in the crib vibing out. I had the new crib and shit. I was just getting used to my crib in the house, smoking everything, bumping the beats. And I called my bro Steady. I'm like, yo, I got some heat. Let's get this shit rolling. I ain't going in 2018 on no music. You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't dropped nothing. Dropped one song in 2017. And it went from me dropping a certain amount of tapes every year to me just focusing on business and dropping one song and making sure I put the label on tour. But I had to come back hard 2018. I wanted to prove something to myself. So.
Now, for your third release, too, is it Red Rum or a Stone? Or did you re-release a Stoner Life EP at your third release?
Alright, so Stoner Life EP had to be re-released because I was waiting for a verse on Rome Street. That's serious. And I'm like, yo, Rome, I want to drop this shit on 420, my nigga. I'm like, Because I always do something on 420. When I drop the first, the very first song in life is on 420. So that's why I always try to keep that formula and don't confuse the fans. But Rome had something going on. He couldn't make that date. And he was like feeling so bummed about it. I'm like, nah, I'm going to push it back. You going to do some shit. Nigga, I'm going to drop two tapes in 10 days. Fuck it. Niggas ain't never do it before. I'm going to do it. And I said, you know what? Let me re-release Ballad of Goldie. And I was sitting on a great song with one of the with an artist that really, really inspired me to even pick up the pen even harder. And he's like an older brother to me, so I wanted to put that song out there so the people could hear that. And I just re-released it. Repackaged it, made a new cover right quick in the whole 9 yards. Like, y'all, putting that shit on physical again. Whatever, let's do it. You know what I'm saying? And that's how that came about. So that was the third tape, but I count that as a tape because that's a release.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the third tape in particular. But it had to come out. I didn't want to keep the fans waiting. I gave them Ballad. I mean, I gave them Stoner Life and shit. Just a whole horse for 10 more days. Red Rum was coming, you know what I'm saying?
And then as we're going on to Red Rum, yep. Red Rum 2, that's on Louis Redbag with Mac P. Oh my God, that's fire right there.
That song right there probably was the beginning of a new era between things.
I was going to say that. I was gonna say that because like that was that could you that was the first project that you actually introduced Mac P.
You know, at the time Mac wasn't even TSMG. Me and Mac was just building every day. Like the conversation was just growing and growing and growing and growing. It was getting deeper than music. We start talking about like religion and fucking architecture and art. Like, me and Mac talk about all kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? And so I was like, yo, we got to get a song in, bro. I want to put you on this tape, my nigga. Like, you need to be heard from the world. You know what I'm saying? I got a little momentum. Let's throw you on there. Hopefully that shit will help you do something, my nigga. And he just wanted whatever. And me and him charted on Insomniac magazine. Like, wow. Man,
big fan.
We didn't see that coming. We just wanted to get one in. And you know, I'm a businessman at all times. You know what I'm saying? When there's good business there, I want in. And I sat down and explained to Matt what I was trying to do with the label. And I explained to him this round table that we got. And I explained to him the role that I think he could bring to this table. And I explained to him also what I think I can do for him that I would want to do for him. And it was like, yo, let's make it happen. We made it happen. It wasn't even nothing to talk about. He was like, yo, let's do it. You know what I'm saying? So ever since then, Matt put that TF on his neck, man. And it's been a fucking problem in the game ever since then, man.
Yeah, because when I interviewed Mac, he's went number one on Insomniac magazine. But you know, it's all about.
Yeah, let me tell y'all something about Mac P. Yo, y'all hearing it from me? My boy don't do nothing but top three. When Mac drop, everybody stop. That's serious. When Mac drop, the globe stops spinning. You heard it from Bernie. That's my favorite rapper right there. That's serious, yo.
That's Nora. That's
Nora. For real.
And big shout out to Nora for putting me on the Mac P right there. COVID
yo, shout out to my nigga Nora. Yo, Norm, that's another thing too, man. I gonna stop asking me if Norm team thing. Norm is my motherfucking brother. That's Mac P brother. What you think, nigga? Yeah, he here. Yeah, there's a bunch of gangers around the world. I'm sitting in the car with two team fan niggas right now. Y'all never heard of. We a virus, my nigga. He's everywhere. He's a fucking virus.
Oh, we'll hear from those other two guys soon in the future, though, I'm sure.
Yo, I'm right here. Shout out to my nigga YSE Trey. YSE Word. I'm right here in Tampa Bay, Florida. Right now, we ain't here for bait. Flying through the motherfucking bitty. Doing what we do. You know what I'm saying? I get love everywhere. All over the map. Every corner. In the corner, building, you can't go to a pull-up. I pull up to any projects in the world, and I chill in the building. You know what I'm saying?
And then as we come back to Red Rum 2, all the beats by... I don't want to say his name wrong.
Yeah, Blood Blixen.
Alright, but shout out to Blood Blixen. That whole tape.
Shout out to the homie Blood Blixen. Yeah.
And then as we come to my absolutely most favorite, like this is like this shit gets like rotation all the time. I had to download it from YouTube, right? But yo, I'm gonna get to the bag. I gotta get my Bandcamp sorted out. For some reason it won't let me fucking sync my PayPal. The bank's up in Canada. Fucked.
Don't worry about it. I'm gonna send you a download code after this. I got you.
Oh, I appreciate that, guy. Because
send you the whole catalog on me.
Oh, I appreciate that, my guy. That's love right there. The track.
Yes, sir.
The track that made me a fan though was Chivas Regal. That track right there is like my absolutely favorite track by you right there.
Wow, I deeply appreciate that. I think I think that song might have went over niggas' heads. I really appreciate
really?
You for that.
Damn.
Yeah, because the angle that me and Magno came with that track, you know what I'm saying? You got a picture of a kid walking on the block, and I'm the bad influence. And Magno is a positive influence, and that kid got to listen to what we saying and make a decision on how you want to live his life. You know what I'm saying? That's how that song is, and that's one of the most important songs to me, but I know it kind of slips through the cracks. But I really appreciate you even, like, fucking with that. That's mind-blowing, bro.
Yeah, that was the song that made me a fan right there. I was like, yeah, right there. I was like, yeah, I fucks with Kate Burns.
Yeah, I appreciate that a lot. Shout out to my boy Magno. Shout out to my nigga Vinyl Villain.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into that, too, because that was your fifth release of 2018. How did you come together with Vinyl Villain for that project, sir? I'm curious.
I ain't scared to holler at a nigga. If I like your work, I'll holler at you. I'm a very big fan of Vinyl Villain. V's one of my favorite V might be one of my favorite producers I've worked with, honestly. I'm not even gonna lie to you, like, working with Vinyls was nothing less than a pleasure. That might have been the easiest project I ever did in my life. Working with Vinyls was like chewing gum. That's how simple it was, you know? He knew exactly what I wanted to go in and do. He gave me enough beats to pick from. I told him what I was trying to do. He was with it. And that kind of, like, shocked me, because being a fan of music, and just knowing the game, you know, I'm watching Vinyl Villain like, he not gonna fuck with no K Burns. And he did. It was like, wow. You know, that was amazing. I didn't think Magno was gonna fuck with K Burns. You know what I'm saying? I didn't think Smooth was gonna fuck with K Burns, you know, Kenny Gubber, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I love that project a lot because of what it did for me. And that was actually my first time I sold out. And when I sold that album sold out in 2 hours, physically.
Yeah, see, because they gravitate, I'm telling you, they gravitate towards that.
I don't know what happened, but all I know is I remember telling them about the second, I think I'm going to drop the pre-orders for the physicals now. And I told them, I'm going to give you half of that, bro. I'm going to send you that. I said, bad man, I'm going to be driving in these country back streets.
Oh, yeah, okay, I was just going to say,
hey,
yeah.
When I dropped that project, yeah, it goes in and out like that. But when I did that project, it was like the tide shifted for me.
Yeah, because you got
to... Blogs start picking me up. Everything just start happening a lot faster. Shit happened too fast after Infamous Villains, actually.
Yeah, because you got a cassette release by my guy, Trevor Lane. That's a good look for you right there.
Yeah, shout out to Trevor Lane, too. Like, I don't think he really realize how influential Trevor is to what, you know, a lot of independent artists is doing. He helps out a lot. He's a great instrument in the game right now.
Yeah, that dude right there knows his music right there. Plus, the art, too. So, like, I'm curious, too. Did you keep a physical copy of each release that you ever did?
Yeah, I got every side. I got my own personal collection. Like, if you look at the pictures of my pop, I'm taking that picture with my arms out. It's everything I did over the whole 12 months. You know what I'm saying? It was dope. And, like, a lot of people don't know. Trevor did the mock-up. Of the cover, Infamous Villains. But I needed that project to look a certain way. And like I said, I ain't have photographs. What I did on my phone, I made a makeshift cover on my phone. And I sent it to Trevor, like, yo, you can nail this for me? He was like, no problem. And nailed the cover. So everything worked out perfect.
And then, because like that project right there, like, how did you pick the cover for that project?
Well, that whole concept, the concept of Infamous Villains, you know, I'm a big Robert De Niro fan. You know what I'm saying? So I was going to think somebody got shot. That shit locked on out of here. But yeah, I was watching fucking Goodfellas one day. I'm like, yo, why nobody never zoned in on like Robert De Niro's character? Why nobody never zoned in on Jimmy Conway? You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jimmy Conway's an Irish fucking gangster that ain't take no shit, that the mob had to respect. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, yo, I want him on the cover. And I was just picturing chasing, I had a vision of, like, you know, on the back of the cover, it's a picture of him holding the young Henry and the young Tommy when they was busting up the cigarettes and shit. You know what I'm saying? It kind of just gave me that feeling about me chasing Mac. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, for real. So I was like, yo, that's me chasing Mac right there. And I got Infamous Villains 2 coming. So y'all niggas watch out for that. Yeah, it's coming.
All right, that's going to be fire.
Yeah, that's going to be fire. That's going to be fire. Y'all got to wait for it, though, but it's coming.
And then we get into your sixth release, Bitty Boys.
Uncle Lowe, what's happening, man?
Oh, what's that?
Fuck thought. Yeah, Bitty Boys. I was talking to my uncle just now. I ain't see him all day.
Oh, my bad. So Bitty Boys is your sixth release of 2018?
Correct.
Now, what made you want to do a joint project with Fetty?
Well, me and Steady is, like, what a lot of people don't know about that, like, Steady is actually the guy that saved my life. If it wasn't for Steady, I probably would have been dead or in jail. I have no problem even saying that, because I met Steady when I was fresh out of juvie, and I was rapping and shit, so he always was behind me. And then, like, you know, as he seen my rap career grow, and he was doing his thing, you know, we used to come together and just get a world, little tracks here and there. But we both was living in Florida at one time, and we was like, yo, let's make a group. Let's make a super group for the label. Let's do some shit that this game ain't doing, you know, some nut and nut shit. So we dubbed ourselves the Bitty Boys, being from New York City, and you don't say nothing with a C. So we was like, yeah, the Bitty Boys, whatever. So, you know, like that. So I was, like, doing all these projects at Steady's house, and Steady's recording every song I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? He mixing, mastering, he helping me find this sound. And Eddie had reached out to do a project with me, and I was going to, like, Eddie sent me a whole tape of some beats. And when I heard it, I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it. But then when I really sat down and listened to it, I said, yo, this is the sound that me and Steady looking for the Bitty Boys. I'm not going to be selfish and just, because I got all this momentum, I'm going to just keep dropping these projects by myself. I think that's a good look for Steady to put him out there in that light. You know, because Steady's more so, if I'm an introvert, Steady's even more of an introvert. He don't really fuck with niggas like that. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to, like, use that platform that I was building to get my brother that same light and that same shine that I was. And it was just dope because we had boy Eddie Word in the Team Stain Music Group, and we was a full label. So that was like a really, really personal release for all of us. And it was just dope to put that whole shit together the way we did.
I'm going to say that CD fire.
Yo, I appreciate that. And it actually, like, a lot of people don't know, we recorded that shit the night it was a red moon.
Oh, so y'all did
that's why the cover's that red moon, you know what I'm saying? That's why when you get the CD, it's the red moon, you know what I'm saying?
Because I was going to say, that makes sense why you guys have such good chemistry, because when I listened to, like, Living Is Fast, I'm like, I wonder if these guys grew up together.
Oh, man, what, man? I remember when I first met Steady, man. Because I rollerblade, you know what I'm saying? Steady's a pro fucking rollerblader. Like, he's a pro, like, he do shit that niggas can't do. Like, my son do 900s, 1080s, double backflips, all that shit. It's for fun, you know what I'm saying? And Steady is one of five of my favorite skaters, you know what I'm saying? So I've studied him in detail so much. It's not even funny, you know what I'm saying? Like, how he move, how he deal with people on the streets, how he demand his respect. All of that can get from me, that comes from Steady. My business savvy, that comes from Steady. The way I sit down and I'm detailed about things and I take my time and I learn things from scratch and don't try to skip a process, I learned that from Steady. You know what I'm saying? And that's why that's my big bro. And he's sitting right where he's sitting at with his feet up, doing good, living good. You know what I'm saying? Because he put some young niggas in the right position in life, and I'm one of them. And I'm going to make sure my bro be good regardless.
I like how, like, with the whole concept, too, like, you guys recorded that on a red moon, too, and you guys decided to include that with the CDs and the, on the actual cover, too.
Yo, you know what's funny, right? Because that night, we sitting in the room, and Fetty live in the Bronx, so I'm going all the way to the Bronx from Brooklyn to record all this music, and I'm in the projects with Fetty. Fetty lives in Carlton Hines building. All of y'all that know who the great Kingpin Carlton Hines from the Bronx, yeah, Fetty live in his building. You know what I'm saying? So it was just the energy, and then we looking outside. I'm like, yo, you know it's a red moon tonight? And Steady like, wow, that's why we knocking the tape out the way we doing. We had our beers and our shit and all of that. So when I did the cover for the shit, I was like, yo, I got to put that red moon on there from that night. I remember that night so vividly, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to my boy Burr. He was in the building with us, keeping us in the zone, but I was half asleep that night. I was tired as a motherfucker. But you got it done. You got it done. And that's another thing, too. All these tapes are recorded 48 hours before they came out.
Oh, what?
That's what niggas don't know. Like, I'm not in the studio all day. I just built my studio in December, bro. You know what I'm saying? I gotta do what I gotta do as a parent. I gotta do what I gotta do as a brother. I gotta do what I gotta do as a big homie. I gotta do what I gotta do as a CEO. I gotta do what I gotta do as a man. So to do all of that, I still gotta find that window of opportunity to go create. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of these projects, when y'all was getting them, it was mixed down 48 to 28, 24 hours before that.
I was going to say, do you sleep well?
Nah. Fuck sleep.
Big facts. Big, no sleep game.
Yeah, no sleep balance. They know that.
And then as we come up to... See, now that I have interactions with you too, it makes sense why your EP, you can release like a ton of EPs for 2018 because you have a lot to say, obviously.
Yo, I appreciate that. I mean, I've been through some shit and I just feel like, you know, I got a story that somebody want to hear. And if I don't put it out there, I ain't going to know where them people are.
Hey, man, just let... Hey, man, like you said, like... Because, like... Okay, you know the Matrix, obviously. We'll get into Pirate Your 7th release in a minute, though. But, You know, the movie The Matrix, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you know, like, the Oracle, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I look at Norm as the Oracle because this guy right here, he's like the Oracle of the Matrix right here. This guy be putting me on to people who I didn't even know existed. And then when he put me on to Kai, he put me on to you, he put me on to Mac P, he put me on to Adonis. Like, I can go on about the ton of people that Norm put me on to.
Yo, just the list that you just named, that shit is bone chilling to even be in that list with those niggas, yo. Like, do you know how much I love Brownsville Kai? Bernie in the same conversation with Kyle. That's crazy, yo. That's crazy. Yo, Norm is a great human being. I don't think people really... I think, and especially in this social media world and stuff, they take you for a screening. And people see that. They don't see you, the person. Like, I've sat down and I look Norm dead in his eyes. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's something in that Baltimore water, man. Because these are the most genuine dudes I've met. And about in the last 5 years, like, they so passionate about what they believe in, and they promote that shit to the fullest, man. That's what you get when you get Norm regular. You know, to all you guys out there that might see Norm showing y'all love online, and y'all might ignore my dude, there's no, you know, he ain't stressing that shit. He threw that shit out the love of his heart, but that's who Norm is. You know what I'm saying? And that's what makes Norm Norm. He's normal and he's regular, but he's an extraordinary dude if you ask me.
And big shout-out to Norm, man. He's just always a text away.
Shout-out to my dog, Norm, man.
That's the Oracle right there. I consider him.
Norm, what up, man? Put that TF on your neck, man. Yo, shout-out to the Corner Boys, too, man. For real. Shout-out. Y'all gonna hear about the Corner Boys. Shout-out to the Corner Boys, man.
Hey, I was curious, too, because I have a good ear for collaborations, too. I think that Mac, you, and Norm would make a crazy three-way murder group, man. That shit would be out of this world, man. People would flock towards that group.
Yo, so many people have told me that. I mean, I've had, and I'm not going name drop, I've had bloggers come to me. Like, yo, y'all gotta get together. I've had regular fans on Twitter that we know, yo, come to me, yo, y'all need to get together. I've had producers come, yo, y'all need to get together. I've had some of my associated rappers that I fuck with. Y'all got to get together. We might have to make that happen sometime soon, because I keep hearing this shit.
Like I said, Norm always got my support, so, yo, anything I could do to help, yo, just, yeah, let me put in, let me know, and I'll put in the word.
Yo, I ain't gonna lie, man, that project was fifth, that Norm drop,
I came, like, three tracks, like, right out the blue right before Class 99, too. I was like, yo, Norm, let's knock that interview out we've been talking about for a bit.
Yo, Norm, I don't know what the hell. Norm, yo, look, that project was mind-blowing. That's all I can say, man. Like, I didn't see that one coming. And I'm watching Norm, and he hit me with a left hook. I was like, yo, that's dope. You know what I'm saying? It was dope.
And then as we come back to, shout-out to Norm, too, man. I know you're listening, my guy.
Shout-out to my guy, Norm.
As we come back to your seventh release of 2018, like, damn, you've been on the go, man. The song that... probably my, it's not on my most favorite project, because my most favorite project is Infamous Villains, but my second most favorite song from you is Nitro.
Wow. Shout out to Uncle Tim, because we couldn't come up with a title for that. I'll let Tim name it. I appreciate that. Totally appreciate that.
Do you have a lot of, like, do you always name your own songs, or sometimes, like, is it hard to name some of your own songs?
You know, it's funny. I'm having that problem right now with this album on Burnieville. Like, just naming the song perfectly. And I think I'm being too hard on myself. You know what I'm saying? But that's, you get to that. But when naming the song, I let it come natural. Like, usually what I'm thinking, whatever the concept is in my head that I'm trying to grasp, just to not throw the fans off, that's what I try to find a way to name the song. within that. Because I used to make some wacky-ass names for songs on some Earl Sweatshirt shit, like Ass Milk and shit like that. Fuck bitch.
For real. Well, and then like you said, too, because Pyrex Vision, too, when you posted that cassette, with all of them, too, I'm like, damn, man, like, salute to somebody trying to make a positive change in their life, too, because, like, man, like, that's all legal work right there, man, that's all cassettes right there, my G.
I mean, I got an LLC, I got to produce some kind of product, you know, we can't just be saying we're doing something and we're not doing it, we're gonna live by what we say we are.
Hello? With also too, when was the first time that you ever did a vinyl release for one of your projects? I'm curious.
Well, the first time I experimented with vinyls was when I did Kilo Dreams. I pressed up 4 because I noticed like the markup for the vinyls was so high. Dudes are selling vinyls for $70, $100. I'm like, nobody's buying my vinyl for that price. But when I posted it, you know, a couple of them sold. I only had 4, so I had to like pull it down and keep a copy for myself and keep a copy for the historian.
Oh, okay.
So I experimented right there, but when I did Infamous Villains, I said, I want this on the vinyl. This is Vinyl Villain, and it's going on vinyl. That's it, and that's all. And I ended up doing, like, half clear and half colored. So it was just something different. My grandma was, like, bugging off of that. Like, wow, you got a vinyl. You got a 45. She didn't even call it a 7/8. My grandmother said, you got a 45. Like, wow.
It's like, grandma knows what this is.
Yeah, like, grandma, it's over for 45. You don't call them that no more. But she got the picture, and it's cool. Sometimes I look at those vinyls, and I just bug out. Like, yo, I don't believe I really did this shit. I'm bugging the hell out.
And then as you come back, you had an amazing 2018. I'm surprised no one came out and reached out for an interview with you, K-Burns, because like some of those projects, man, are absolutely fire.
Yo, I'm honored that you got the first interview, and we're doing it over phone, and we're doing it verbally, like, and we're not doing some whack, you sent me some pre-made questions, you know, we're building off general healthy conversation.
Yeah, I never understood that written interview thing.
I mean, I guess the written interviews is cool. I've done them. I can honestly say that.
But like, you don't get. But you don't get to hear like the actual person, like the sincerity in the actual person, and the.
Yeah, you can't hear the passion in my voice. You don't hear me laughing. Like I can type LOL all day, but you won't really get it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly, too, or, like, you never know when you send them in, like, the guy mispronounced, like, something that you said. It's like, yo, I didn't mean it like that.
Right, and I think a lot of things can be read the wrong way. You know how you read a text from somebody and they say, fuck out of here, and they saying a joking matter. You take it the wrong way, like, they're telling you to get the fuck out of here with yourself.
Nope. Yeah. And that's a lot of things, too, like, a lot of people don't realize, too. It's like, I asked this question to terminology, too, but I'm more curious because you're from that era, too. The XXL, the Source magazines, like Vibe magazine, Scratch magazines. What did that era...
Man, fuck Vibe magazine. Fuck Vibe magazine. Fuck Vibe magazine. I said it 3 times for a reason. Vibe magazine is the reason that the world thought it was an East Coast, West Coast war. Fuck Vibe magazine. I saw Tupac on Biggie Block. Ain't no fucking East Coast, West Coast war. Fuck magazines and fuck Vibe. They keep a lot of bullshit going. The goddamn fans replace the magazine. They keep shit going.
I don't think Vibe's around anymore.
None of them should be around. Fuck Vibe. And Vibe don't gotta be around because the damage that Vibe caused lingers on to this fucking day.
Yeah, that's big facts, right? So, like, fuck Vibe, but those other ones magazine, like, having a 5-mic album, what did that, like, mean to you? Like, seeing, like, an artist, like, a Hove or, like, a Raekwon get a 5-mic album?
I mean, those are the guys that deserve 5 mics.
Would you
consider... Biggie got 5 mics. He deserves 5 mics. Pac got 5 mics. He deserves 5 mics.
When do you think the Source magazine died off with the mic rating? Because the last five mic album...
I think we all in agreement. The world is in agreement that the rating of the mics got tainted when the owner of the Source gave himself 5 mics.
Oh, yeah, that redemption. That was not a 5. Yeah, he gave himself 4.
And then Zeno do his thing. I always, like, you can't take away what Zeno did for Boston. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You cannot do that. And I will I got a lot of respect for him even attempting to take on Eminem head up. That was some gangster shit. That was some gangster shit. Yeah. For him to be a man of his stature and at the position that he's at that prestigious company, for him to put himself in that magazine and give himself 5 mics or receive 5 mics in that magazine is going to look funny. And he should have knew better than that. So I think he single-handedly killed the integrity of the 5 mics. And he also, you know, planted the seed for Double XL to come about with their bullshit ratings. Because it's all bullshit to me.
Yeah. I noticed that too. Like I noticed there's no.
It's been
like,
bullshit since then, bro. For real, for real.
Like I noticed that too. That's why, like, when because I flock to a lot of the underground artists too, and I noticed, like, before I even started this podcast, before I even knew I wanted to do this, there was people, like, even before I even knew of Kay Burns, like, there was people like a Marv One or like a Bane from like the Fat or Kid Vicious or like Kid Crooked.
Wow, Kid Vicious, that's dope.
That was my first guest. That was my first guest ever.
That's lit.
But like I said too, like my resume, I never knew like I would interview a Buckshot or a General Steel or like, I don't know, it still fucks me up to this day. But anyway, back to my, then I noticed that a lot of these people, like Double XL Disorders or like some of these fucking bloggers like Vlad TV or like a lot of these blogs weren't showing a love to the underground. I'm like, and I love listening to interviews. I'm like, how come no one's giving like these hardcore lyricists out there like real interviews? Combat Jack, Combat Jack used to. Well, no. Combat Jack used to, but R.I.P. to Combat Jack. He passed away.
I mean, Combat and Sway was the only ones, really. Like, really think about it. Like, who really? I mean, God bless the dead Megatron. God bless the dead. You like, I'm not even gonna. I can't take away from what Megatron was doing for New York. You know what I'm saying? Megatron had Hot 97 from 11 at night to 5 in the morning. Yeah. Like, he's spinning his shit. If you recognize Megatron in the hood, you acknowledge him, and you give him your seat, you're going to spin your shit. You know what I'm saying? So I just think like a lot of, they've taken the world and turned it to a corporation. You know what I'm saying? Nobody, no big corporation cares about the little mini. You know what I'm saying? Like DJ Vlad is on a big, he's a syndicated fucking podcast technically now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I don't...
He also the fags, but we ain't gonna get into that.
I was just gonna say, I don't fuck with Vlad.
He also, that nigga's the fucking fags.
But like I said too, like, Sway and, Combat really influenced me because, like, man, because I remember when I had no music and I remember all I had was that little podcast app on my little iPhone 3 and I used to listen to Combat Jack. That's how he found West Side Gun. That's how he found Buckshot. That's how he found Smith and Wesson. Like, all through that, all through all those interviews.
I just never knew. It was crazy because that's what made me want to do the interview with you. When I saw you had Buckshot up there, and I saw you had Still, and like, these are guys that, like, you know, I still see these guys in Brooklyn. I got a picture with Still on my phone. I was doing something one day, and we saw Still, we ran down on him. It was all love, you know what I'm saying? Buckshot actually live around the corner from my daughters. I see him all the time. I see Buckshot at least twice a week. Whenever he's in the country not touring. Like, I don't holler at him or nothing like that, because, like, that's still Buckshot to me. I'll be starstruck. Like, damn, that's Buckshot, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My baby brother that passed away at 7, God bless him dead, my little brother. His favorite rapper was Buckshot. So whenever I see Buckshot, it bring that
feeling,
that emotion up about my baby bro. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's BDI right there. You bugging. You bugging.
That's good to hear that, you know, like, people that that you're starstruck on, you can just say hi to, even you got a picture of Steve.
And let me tell you, when I say starstruck, I don't mean in no fucking dick riding way. Niggas right here. No, I'm talking about whoever's listening. When you see these dudes, right, and that's how you know when you're a great man. If they don't make you feel like you that little kid again when you met them, get the fuck out their face and stop wasting their time, man. Because them some great dudes that y'all overlooking, man. Real for real.
Yeah, for real, too. When Buck said, just give me a call, I was like, what? I was like, dude, fucking Buckshot. Like, I was like,
I know that shit blew your mind, like, right? Like, whoa. Buckshot, you with it? For real, that's dope, yo. God bless for that, man. I wish you the best with this podcast, bro. I hope you keep this shit going.
I definitely will, man, because like I said, man, I don't do this for the money. I never made a dime off this. I don't do it for the money. I do it for the culture, and plus I enjoy it. I never knew, like, K Okay, I'll be real with you. I was trying to find my calling for like last 5 years. I tried everything from like blogging around to people, like doing dumb shit, fucking photography, fucking gaming. Nothing was clicking, but like, you know, like last year, just like that Kid Vicious interview, that really changed my whole life. I'm like, yo, I can really do this, because it's not like I don't enjoy it, man. I enjoy this shit every day, man. Every day I wake up, I'm like, is this shit a dream? But like,
yo, I feel like that too. I woke up this morning feeling like that.
With everything like, you accomplished too, yeah. Like just by meeting Sway.
Yeah. I mean, I like last night we was riding out and we going from Tampa to Clearwater and Clearwater to St. Pete and all that. We just sliding, we in the hood and West Tampa, we places motherfuckers can't be. And I'm just sitting there saying to myself, like, would I be in these places had I not taken that interview with Sway? Like, I really wonder. Where would I be right now, 5 years later?
And
had I not did that?
And let's get this fact straight, too. I know you said that how I'm your first interview, but in reality, Sway asked you a couple of questions, so that's technically your first interview. Even if it was like 2 minutes, that still counts, bro.
Then you're absolutely right, but so many people not going to get that interview. You don't get that part of the show. You got to tune in to satellite radio. Like, my daughter had to stay home from school that day, and a mom took off for work just so they could hear me on the radio.
Yeah. Well, that's on YouTube too, so big facts right there.
Yeah, but that was it. But definitely, but you know, this right here is why I say this was my first interview, because this is in depth. Nobody ever cared to ask me these many questions or go through the research on a tape burn. That's why I told you, don't hold back, bro. Ask whatever you want.
Yeah, man.
You don't put a world premiere out.
That's why I said I always fuck up the real ones too. As we kind of strayed off, but that's good though, because I wanted to get the, you know, real in depth. You came back on top of 2019, where From Me to You.
Yeah, that was something that I could have dropped that tape instead of Keto Dreams. I was holding that. That was in the stash.
Oh, you've been holding that. Okay, that's on
stash. That was in the stash. That shit was in the stash. That been there the whole time.
Man, that sounds fresh.
And it's more where they came from. I was being nice on that. I only put out three. It's more where that came from. I'm a huge Earl Sweatshirt fan. I love Earl Sweatshirt. He's like Nas to me of the generation. So like, I went digging for Earl beats online, and I went digging for them shits, bro.
I was gonna ask you about that too when you went digging for Earl Sweatshirt beats, because he does a lot of production that he releases that's unreleased too. So like, what was the inspiration behind that too?
The fact that I know niggas is gonna sleep on Earl, and Earl is one of the greatest motherfucking artists to come across the planet, if you ask me. And I'm a big Earl Sweatshirt fan. Once again, like, I love Earl Sweatshirt. I don't have, I can listen to Earl rap all day. Like, me and Earl can walk down the block, I tell him just rap. Don't stop rapping, keep rapping, bro. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, I had to do that. That was a personal project right there for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to get that out of my ass.
That Barry Bonds too, like that's like the, it's like 3 minutes and 30 tracks of some, I mean 3 minutes and 30 seconds of some real shit on that.
I appreciate that. That was from my heart, honestly.
With you having like a good career, what makes you want to get so in depth with like Earl Sweatshirt beats like that? Like,
I mean, I don't pick which one I'm gonna get in depth in. It usually just comes out naturally. And Earl, like, I guess, like with Earl beats, you know, Earl is a personal artist. You know what I'm saying? So if you know Earl, you know, you got to put your personal shit on it. He don't hold no punches. He tell you the good, bad, ugly, and all. So that's what I did on that project.
And then with you, too, understanding longevity in the game, too, I'm curious, because you're influenced by Earl Sweatshirt. Who else are you influenced by, K-Burns?
I wouldn't say Earl is an influence. My influence musically, and it's probably really not going to change, you know what I'm saying? Michael Jackson, you know what I'm saying? James Brown, Sam Cooke, fucking Chuck Berry, damn, you know what I'm saying? Like, I studied Berry Gordy. Like, everything about Teen Family, I want this shit to be like Motown, baby. You know what I'm saying? I studied John Coltrane, you know what I'm saying? I studied different music genres, you know what I'm saying? I was a songwriter for Capitol Records. I got a healthy knowledge of music, and my inspiration just comes from, like, those artists that dig into that. I told you, like Curtis Mayfield is a very big influence on me. Yeah. Ike Turner's a big influence on my music. And, like, this was before I even started rapping, you know? So, when it comes to the rap, Jay, DMX, Cameron, 50 Cent, all of them, I got a piece of everybody in New York, you know what I'm saying? So, like, those are my inspirations, those artists that really, really tap into the craft and where they go there, bro.
Damn, I was gonna say, like, you, damn, yeah. So that explains, like, and you're from there, too, so that must give you a lot of inspiration, too, just being, like, from there.
I got big, I'm the only rapper from Jay-Z and Biggie Hood.
So you were saying you're the only rapper from Biggie's block?
I'm the only rapper from Biggie and Jay-Z neighborhood. Like, it ain't no rapper, I don't know no rapper that can claim both of them neighborhoods. My father is one of the... My father's an influential figure for Marcy Projects. You know what I'm saying? Like, and growing up, my mom was that bitch, as they say, in Clinton Hills. You know what I'm saying? So, I was blessed to have those two as parents. You know what I'm saying? And come from those two places. It's like a certain aura and a certain air that I got to carry myself in because I got very, very, very big shoes to fill, lyrically and business-wise, coming from or coming behind those two. You know what I'm saying? I'm from the County of Kings.
And would you say your parents are a part of your big inspiration too, sir?
Yeah, my parents was 18 years old when they had me, so, you know, my inception of hip hop was like N.W.A. I remember being 2 years old and watching that video, Easy, and I just used to be in the trance watching Eazy-E, like, yo, this nigga Eazy-E is dope. I can't wait till I get jelly curls. You know what I'm saying? That is serious. And this is me, 2-3 years old. I was from Compton. I don't know what y'all niggas talking about. I'm from Compton, boy. That's serious. And, my parents always kept good music playing in the house, especially good hip hop. You know, my mom was the one that came. My mom came in the house and told me, yo, Jay-Z just got 8x9s. I said, you lying. She said, he need a song called Ether and play this for me. I said, wow. You know, so my mom was still riding around the car. My first mixtape from 2008.
Mm. And I'm curious, too, when your mom played you Ether, too, they were, how was there New York at the time, too, when, because that was right around 9/11.
That was the best time in New York. We was actually finding ourselves. Like, this was post 9/11, you know what I'm saying? And, I mean, like, this was approaching 9/11. New York is at its best. Drugs is at an all-time low. The murder rate is high, and niggas is only getting 1 to 3 years for a gun. That's the Brooklyn I know, you know what I'm saying? That shit was wild. And to have Jay-Z and Nas going at it, that was the real conversation really was only who the best rappers, Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas. You know what I'm saying? So to have them two going at it, that shit was like, everybody was ripping their pen hard in New York. If you was rapping, you had to come with bars. During that time, you had to be in your fucking A-game, you know what I'm saying? Because New York was on fire. New York, when I say on fire, that was on fire in a good way and a bad way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because it was like, beef was, because New York was very beef. Like, beef was everywhere in New York, even when 50 came.
New York is beef-oriented. Like, a lot of people don't get that. New York City, everybody want to be the king. If you the king of New York, you the king of this whole shit. That's how we look at it. You know what I'm saying? So... Yeah. There's always that shit's gonna always be around. You know what I'm saying? Like that little, I don't know if they call it friendly competition, some call it hating, some, I don't know what they call it, you know. I call it hip hop, you know what I'm saying? But that right there, Jay-Z and Nas's battle was probably, that wasn't my favorite battle. I like the Beanie Siegel JD Kiss battle a lot better.
Oh, but really?
What? Beans is my second favorite rapper. Next to Big. We ain't even getting to that right now, you know what I'm saying? But that it put New York in pandemonium. Like, for real, for real. I can honestly say that was always the topic of discussion. Like, niggas couldn't date certain girls because you listened to Nas.
It was like that back then, damn.
You couldn't be in certain circles because you listened to Jay-Z. Like, it was like the niggas that listened to Jay-Z. Right? This is what I take from me. I was only like 13, 14 during this time. You know what I'm saying? So it was like the street smart nigga that still knew right from wrong, right? He listened to Nas to justify what he was doing. And the nigga that didn't give a fuck and that was about that brag, and I gotta do what I gotta do to make it up out of here, he listened to Jay-Z. So it was a clash. It was a clash of mental capacities. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was the dumb nigga versus the smart nigga, if you ask me. It was the fly nigga versus the nigga that ain't fly. It was the ugly nigga versus the pretty boy. It was, you know, it was the real nigga versus the fake nigga. It was the drug dealer versus the dude that just watched it. It was all kind of the Brooklyn nigga versus the Queens nigga. It was the short nigga versus the tall nigga. The one that got the bad bitch, the one that ain't got no bitch, right? Any kind of way you could flip that to a negative or positive or a yay and nay conversation, it would be, you turn that shit to Jay-Z and Nas. It was like Kobe Bryant versus Allen Iverson. Damn. Like, yeah, Biggie's Jordan, but you're looking at Allen Iverson and Kobe go through it. You know what I'm saying?
And then also, too, because, like, you were just 13 at the time, too. That's crazy how it can just affect...
13
like,
turning 14.
Yeah, 13 turning 14.
No, as a matter of fact, no, I'm wrong. Jay-Z and Nas started beefing when I was 14. I had came home from the fucking gun charge. Because when I first started really rocking crazy with Fetty and them, I remember my boy Max... that put me and Fetty really, like, close together. Like, me, Fetty, and Max was like the Holy Trinity. You know what I'm saying? I remember Max telling me one day when I was rapping, because Max raps his ass off, too. He was like, yo, you're like Nas. You're a gangster lyrical nigga. And I never understood what he meant by that. But I'm starting to understand it as I keep going along. And he was like, you know, as you go along, you're going to articulate your shit a certain way, and that's what's going to make you lyrical. But you always going to talk that gangster shit.
That's facts right there. That's all facts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know.
Man. I'm curious too. When was the first time you ever heard of Insomniac magazine?
I've heard of Insomniac in like '99, I believe. I, if I'm not mistaken, they covered the Cage versus Eminem battle at the Rap Olympics.
Oh, so they've been because they've been out since '96.
Nah, they. If I'm not mistaken, Insomniac Mag is how I even know about Cage. With a K.
Oh, really?
I listen to everybody, bro. Idea is one of my favorite rappers, bro. I love Rob Sayers.
I was gonna say, when was the first time you ever heard of Gravediggers, sir?
Well, Gravediggers, I might have heard of Gravediggers about 2002, 2001, like, just on a blog. Because I think blogs was better back then, too. But I was, like, reading up on Devin the Dude and Razzcast. You know what I'm saying? And somebody else was, I think... Yeah, I was... who was it? I can't think of his name. Mac Dre. Motherfucking Mac Dre. I'm reading something about them, and that's how I end up discovering the Grave Diggers.
Okay. So, yo, let me check these
I'm a rapper, boy. What bro just said? You want your interview? I'm a rapper now, bro. I get interviews and shit, nigga. My
fault,
bro.
It's all good, my G. I understand you're a busy man.
Nah, he over. He big money right now. Like, he counting it out, bro. Swing, bro, baby. My fault,
bro. It's all good, my G.
Nah, I'm the slide out. It don't matter. I'm with my bros, man. We out. Let's get it, low. We back to the interview.
All right. So, like you said, too, when you said... Insomniac Magazine, that's how you heard of Cage with a K, too. Who else have you found through Insomniac Magazine?
Let me think of Todd Farris. Motherfucking Todd Farris. That nigga's nice.
Wait,
I saw a Todd Farris song on there. Let me see what this about. I know a dude with a last name named Farris. You know what I'm saying? Let me see what this about. You know, that caught my attention. And Todd Farris is a dope artist. You know what I'm saying? Who else I discovered on Insomniac Magazine? Magno Garcia.
Oh, okay.
My boy Mag. My boy Magno. When he dropped Chandeliers. And I wasn't even, like, digging it. Like, I wasn't even, like, fucking with the underground scene. You know what I'm saying? I just listen. I'm a fan of music. You know, I like good music. And I follow SD Mac. So I had seen SD with some shit with them one time, too. I'm like, oh, that's Insomniac Magazine. They on Twitter? Cool. Because I haven't seen them around for years. You know what I'm saying? So it was cool to see them around.
And, I was wanting to ask you, too, that, Team Fame piece, too, that's absolutely fire. What was the inspiration?
Appreciate it.
Oh, no, hey, like I said, I keep it a buck. What was the inspiration behind Team Fame?
The label itself, Team Fame was a clique. Like, Team Fame was the gang. Team Fame was the hood. That's the South Street. You know what I'm saying? That's, everybody in my hood, the gang. You know what I'm saying? I was in a group called 2-3 when I was in 12th grade. I had stopped rapping in 11th grade. I was really wilding. Like I said, I was out of town getting money and shit. Shout out to my guy, Chase Peso. He was working on a grand plan to get me back rapping, and I didn't even know. So he had came to me like the first day of 12th grade, like, yo, I got an album coming out. I need you to do my graphics. I'm like, all right, I got you. Like, but I want you to come to the studio with me and do the graphics there. I'm like, for what? Like, I want you to hear the album and get the vibe and whatever, whatever. So I did that. It was cool, but he ended up slowly getting me back into the rap shit. You know what I'm saying? And 2-3 ended up breaking up. Not breaking up, but dying out. You know, we ended up going our separate ways. And then from there, you know, I'm in the hood. Everybody in the hood know I rap. Be blowing up in the hood. Look, you know what I'm saying? Next day, you know, man, let's make this click, man. Team Fame, the motherfucking gang, man. And I said, and we were doing that ever since. And then after that, you know, it just grew. So the inspiration from that was just to, like, you know, make something that was ours. You know what I'm saying? And when we make it that, and it's ours, we're going to make that live on forever, like Junior Mafia. You know what I'm saying? Junior Mafia kind of was the inspiration behind Team Fame, because my neighborhood needed something that was theirs. You know what I'm saying? And Team Fame is downtown Brooklyn, for real.
Because, like, Team Fame's got a lot of talent, too. I know you said it early on in the show, but would you like to give out, like, a few people that are with Team Fame?
Man, the label is official, and a lot of people need to understand it. We only 60. Team Fame Music Group is 318 Chase from Ruston, Louisiana. Fetty from the Bronx, New York. Mac T by way of Baltimore, Maryland. Echo 84 from motherfucking South Bend, Indiana. And my guy, Eddie Word from Oakland, California. You know what I'm saying? That is Team Fame Music Group. That is the label, that's the brand, that's the company. That's what y'all getting right now. Y'all getting Team Fame Music Group. That is us. Understand what I'm saying? That's that.
I was gonna say too, Fetty, you gotta put me onto some of Fetty's Instagram and some of his music, because when I heard Bitty Boys, I was like, yo, I gotta reach out to Fetty, man. That dude fire too.
Man, let me tell you something about Fetty. That is the most versatile artist I've ever. I've seen Fetty do everything but sing.
Oh, so he does it all, like producing too.
That he don't make beats, but I'm sure if you put an NPC in front of Fetty for 30 days, he'll have that shit mastered.
Big fan. I'm curious too. Fetty.
No cocky shit. I'm not being cocky. Like, Fetty know how to make videos. He know how to do everything. And do that well.
Would you consider him a visionary?
Definitely. I would consider Fetty, like, Fetty's the beyond a visionary. They don't even have words for what he is. Like, there's not words to describe a study. There's no words to describe a 318 Chase. There's no words to describe a Mac T. Like, my bros, they on some other shit. They a vibe. I think when it's all said and done, whatever we become, that's what we are. I think we set out to be visionaries and shit now, but I think we'll end up being something bigger than that. Honestly, I know it deep down inside. I feel it in my bones.
I was going to say, you met your favorite rapper, I see, Seagull.
I was actually on tour with Seagull, and that was mind blowing. Like, I was shy when I met Seagull. I wasn't sure if I was good enough. Cause this the best. This nigga right here, his DNA is all in my music. You know what I'm saying? So to see how he reacted to me, how he responded to me, and like really pulled up on me, your friends holler at me, call me after the tour, got the FaceTime, whole 9 yards. You know what I'm saying? But, my wife heard me on FaceTime, came in there to pop some shit, thought I was cheating with a girl. She looking at Beanie Sigel. She went crazy, because that's one of my favorite rappers, too. You know what I'm saying? So,
what'd she say when you see you talking of Beanie Sigel?
She cursed me the fuck out. Like, why you didn't tell me you was on the phone with Beanie Sigel? I'm over here looking like this. You came in here trying to scream on a nigga. Like, I was talking to a girl. It was like 12 at night. She's screaming, making noise. Wake the fucking kids up and shit. You know what I'm saying? But it was cool. It was cool. It was dope. Like, it was dope. That's when she knew shit was real. Like, she knew shit, because I've been with my girl since I was 14. You know what I'm saying? My girl been with me since the day I got out of juke. It ain't leave my side, same. And,
That's your high school sweetheart, eh?
Nah, that's my baby. Me and her been on it like that since we was in elementary. I remember being in fourth grade playing football, and she being in second grade. And I got a stiff arm. The nigga that's playing defense on me and spin off of her ass because she's chasing behind me too. That's my baby. She got three of my kids for a reason.
Damn. Hey, so you,
I love that girl.
Hey, would you say your wife's a big inspiration to your music too?
What? She allowed me to... She's watching me work hard for the last 3.5 months on this album. I'm like, I need to go see my brothers and, you know, get out this congested city. She's like, man, do you? You know what I'm saying? She allowed me to be better. You know, every great man needs a great woman behind him. And she cool for that shit.
That's big facts right there.
Shout out to my baby mama. She needs it. I love you, girl.
I'm pretty sure what you hear this, you'll love that story about being a seagull.
Yeah. She gonna be cracking up.
Also, what made you want to, like, get into physical vinyls, all that? Because, like, from what I've seen, too, like, you're, like, everything's sold out on your Bandcamp.
I mean, I just wanted to do something that was gonna last forever. I think one day the internet gonna crash. You know? You saw iRobot, right? I'm sure you saw iRobot, right, bro?
Oh, yeah. Who hasn't?
You see how the computer just deemed us the problem and started attacking humans? You know what I'm saying?
That's Elon Musk.
If one day computers stop working, how you going to hear my music if you ain't got the physical?
Or like when Instagram crashed.
Anything. If any, like I remember being on thatpimp.com and the server used to get jammed up whenever Gucci Man say he put the mixtape up. How you going to listen to my shit today if you want to listen to it? You know what I'm saying? You can't.
I'm curious too, K Burns too. You got a lot of your old work on that path?
Yeah, everything that I ever dropped from 2007 is online. You can get it online. It's on that tip. I'm heavy on that tip. I'm on live next week. I'm on fucking, what's the other shit they got? That's the with the gorilla shit. Mixtape gorilla, whatever the fuck. I'm on every site. That crack, everything you can think of, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to my nigga Calmly. For putting all my shit on YouTube because I ain't had the time to do it. Shout out to Sun Tzu for putting Pirate Vision on YouTube because I ain't have a chance to do it. You know what I'm saying? I'm everywhere. I'm a virus. This shit is like HIV. You won't catch us. You're stuck, nigga.
Big facts right there. Big facts.
Shit like Blue Magic Dope. But if this one time, you got to come get it any day. Don't share that needle.
I'm curious too, K-Burns, how come you never put any of those EPs like Infamous Villains up on streaming sites like Tidal?
Because I'm totally against them.
Oh, so you're
against... I don't stand for them. Okay. I'm anti that. I'm anti major streaming. I'm anti major streaming platforms for a reason. Because... I purposely do that. Because a nigga that found my music, I know he went digging for that shit.
I definitely went digging for that.
And I got nothing but love for you for that.
Oh, man, appreciate
it. But the utmost respect and love for you for that. I'll never be like a family member.
And, like, also, too, because, like, do you think Bandcamp, because you get full profit when people buy your stuff, right?
Yeah, they take a very minor percentage. And the percentage that they take in is the same percentage you're going to take from a major streaming platform. I think a lot of these guys just want to look like they're major rappers. They want to look like that. So they do what they see other guys doing. It's like, y'all, I'm on Spotify. I'm on iTunes. I'm on that. You still in your mama house too, broke ass nigga.
it's like on Bandcamp, you can actually make a decent living with like physical copies on there.
Yeah, I'm K Burns of living proof. I paid the bills off Bandcamp. This is my career. This is my life. I paid for my kid's birthday off Bandcamp. I love every fucking supporter that's taking their hard earned bucks and investing into this brand. I love him for that. I'm going to take care of my family over something that this is what I do for fun. It turns to what I do for a living. You know what I'm saying? I can't think nobody more than I thank you. That's all I can say.
How do you get inspired when you're writing K-Burns? I'm curious.
Same formula, man. You know the team same formula, man. You smoke a little weed. Get deep in our thoughts, man. Give me 35 minutes. I got you. Seriously, give me 2 blunts. You know, let that beat play over and over. I don't need much. I do this for real, man. Like, I'm not one of them rappers that need drugs. I ain't got to take this and that to get in my zone. I don't even need weed to get in my zone. Turn the fucking beat on and put the mic on. You know what I'm saying? I draw all my music come from my real life experiences. So what you're hearing from me is my life in retrospect. You know what I'm saying? You're hearing my life in retrospect. And I just sit there and get into, I've been thinking about being a foster kid, make an album off that shit. I can make an album about baseball if I want to. I can get that in depth about how I'm feeling about this. You know what I'm saying? So motivation comes, like, I was motivated the other day to just start working on some shit in the hotel room. I was up 5 a.m. recording some music. It comes sporadic. That's why I love music.
I like that, too. I like how, like, you put such thought into your music. That's why I gravitate towards it, because I can hear, like, the sincerity in your voice when you're rapping. I'm like, yo, this guy actually lived that shit.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I really do. That's why I don't make club music, because I don't party. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to make that shit. I can't tell you what's going on in the club. I don't give a fuck. When we went to the club, we was to shoot that shit up. So I ain't big on going to clubs and big crowds of people. I'd rather be on stage looking at everybody than to be on the wall watching everybody. Watch me.
Now, when you're saying, like, you got inspired to, when you re-listen to your music too, do you have to, like, say to yourself, I'm like, damn, that's me?
I mean, it depends. Like, sometimes I have moments where I just write some crazy shit, and I'm like, God damn, nigga, you nice. You know what I'm saying? Like the shit I got coming out on my bro Echo 84 project that's dropping on March 19th, that might be my favorite verse I laid in 2 years.
Okay. Now, I'm curious, too, because you have yet to drop, like, a really full-length personal project. I'm curious.
Right.
Would you ever consider later on in your career getting a really in-depth album, like, from, like a Book of Ryan in-depth album, like, covering everything that you've been through in life from, like, the beginning, from Brooklyn to all the way until 2018?
I mean, honestly, that's coming out 420.
Okay.
It's here. That album is here. And it naturally happens. You know what I'm saying? That album is called Bernieville. And I'm about to take the listeners on a 11-track ride through my neighborhood, through my life, through my ups, my downs, my highs, and my lows. You know what I'm saying? And it's not going to be the typical fucking album. It's going to be articulated through music. I'm going to show my musical talent. I'm going to articulate this shit music. I'm not going to say nothing on an album in layman's terms. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to really listen to that album. And you're going to have to get it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing, though. 420, I'm definitely going to be tuned in for that one.
Say that again?
I said for 420, I'm definitely going to be tuned in for that one.
Yeah, and that's going on all major platforms. That one going on all major platforms.
Well, it's going to be the introduction. Would you say that would be the introduction to people who haven't heard of a K-Burns?
I would say so. I mean, I think, you know, every day you meet somebody new. You know what I'm saying? So you're reintroducing yourself to people every day. I just met a whole bunch of people over this last week I never met when I was living down here. So I think that I'm looking forward to that reintroduction to a new population of people. That's why I did what I did on Bandcamp, because Bandcamp has listeners. So I was like, you know what? Let me go find some listeners, right? You know what I'm saying? My hood been listening to me since I was 13 years old. They tired. They're listening to the young boys. It's their turn. You know what I'm saying? So I couldn't get mad. I had to go find new listeners. It's a big world.
Because, like I said, I'm early on a lot of people, too. I called Kendrick before they even signed to Dr. Dre, too. So I'm calling K-Burns Bernieville Classic before it's released.
I appreciate that. And I'm going to actually have to go tweet that. For real. Bernieville's a classic, and I'm quoting King Lo for that one.
big facts for right real, there. For real. With you having, like, a good career ahead of you, too, If you get a crazy amount of response through Bernieville, would you ever consider putting, like, Infamous Villains on streaming sites for the people who got really in tune with Bernieville to be like, yo, let me just, like, you can check out some of my old work right here?
I mean, that was the game plan when I got into this Bandcamp shit. I was like, yo, you know what? I'm going to put all these albums out the same day, the same day and time, on every fucking streaming platform after I get that response. So I'm just waiting. You know what I'm saying? I'm just waiting for the perfect time. You know, I think I learned in this shit. You can't force it. You know what I'm saying? I think prior to 2017 and 2018, I think everything I did in my career was forced and induced by where the game was going. versus me playing my own game. So, you know, now I'm playing my own game. I put my shit out how I want, when I want, where I want, and give it to who I want. You know what I'm saying? So, title and all of them to get it when the time is right. I might want a bag for them shit. You know what I'm saying? Jay-Z going to send me something. You know what I'm saying? You never know. You know, so instead of me just pushing it there now, I now leave room for things to happen. You know what I'm saying? And I control what I can control. I can't control what's going on those other sites. I got more control over what I'm doing on Bandcamp. You know what I'm saying? I got access to these supporters. I can talk to them. I can give them a heads up. This is coming out. You know what I'm saying? So I love that platform. So it's perfect for where I'm going with it. You know what I'm saying?
And it's good then too, because like when people like tap in too, because like when I tapped in too, I listened to music differently. I started off from Pirate Division and I went down, but when I came across Infamous Villains, I was like, holy fuck. I was like, this guy right here, man.
That's vinyl for you. That's vinyl for you.
The Marty Scorsese.
He'll bring that out to you.
Well, with you too, like, understanding the game and longevity too, I believe that you can speak things into existence too. Who would you say is your dream collaboration?
Alchemist and Havoc.
Okay.
If I could just get like a side A, a fucking Alchemist, and a side B, a Havoc, I'll retire. I'm done. I got so many other talents. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll probably go back to college and pick up an architecture that I stopped doing after high school. You know what I'm saying? Like, that. If I could get a side A, an Alchemist, and a side B, a motherfucking Havoc, you got you a ready to die. You got you a reasonable doubt. You got you a get rich or die trying. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and like, too, with you understanding, like, the already outcome of that album, too, with, if they approached you saying, like, we want to do this, but we want to put a Team Fame complication out first, you with that first?
What? What? That would be music to my ears. Everything I do is, like, the situation that I'm in right now with Avant-Garde, shout out to Avant-Garde, they're doing all our stuff. They have a full-blown distribution partnership. And when I was approached by Avant-Garde, it was like, hell yeah, let's work, but can't do this situation without my bros getting the situation. And they say, oh, whatever you bring, we taking on. That was music to my ears. Well, so the whole Team Fame, we exclusively with Avant-Garde. We're not with nobody else. Team Fame is the label, Avant-Garde is the distributor. And that's it and that's all. We are a full-functioning independent label. We don't need or want for nothing from nobody. So if we working with you and we fucking with you, it's because we fuck with you. You don't reach out to nobody for help. None of that. We do it all ourselves. Ins and outs, the promotion, the marketing, all that shit. We do it ourselves.
All right. Big facts right there. It's a real one.
If we could get an Alchemist and Havoc on Team Fame, or us on them, however you want to put it, man, that'll put us in a different light to the world for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. That's big facts right there. What was your reaction when Mac P went number one by himself on Insomniac Magazine?
Yo, I told Mac, he's the golden kid, man. I called him up that morning. I said, I know you know what happened. Because all he did was sing. I never seen Mac so hype in his life. He was like, Bernie! You know what I'm saying? Because Mac is real reclusive. You don't get hype. You know what I'm saying? He was hype. And it was good to see him get hype.
I was curious. Yeah, and then with Kogan, too, with the response that I got, too.
Kogan is crazy.
Yo, that is crazy right there.
You believe he did that shit in like two sessions?
Yeah, he did. He did tell me that.
Two studio sessions. Quick, on the spot. Every song was written on the spot. Fresh work right there through the street.
And just like something so.
Shout out to Baz Reeve on the production, too.
So you were there for the recording process?
I was there for the whole process. I was already signed to Mac up to do a project. He didn't even know it. He thought he was just going to the studio to just meet niggas. Now he going to work, nigga. And I just wanted to see how he worked at the studio. You know what I'm saying? Because you know Mac is still new to a lot of this shit. I just wanted to see how he worked. I wanted to see what he was good at, what he may have needed help with. And you don't need no fucking help. And it was dope to see that. Like, yo, I'm here. You need a verse, I'm here. But if not, keep going. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think you know, I personally like that beat. I was like, I gotta get on this one. I'm getting on that. I got something in my head for that one. But, like, you know, just to see him play Kogan together the way he did and the time he did, we on the clock. Matt, like, when Matt comes to New York, he's on the countdown. You know what I'm saying? He's not lingering out here. Every move we make is accounted for the day. You wake up like, this is the plan. We going here, 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 and see this one. So it was great to have that come out in the fashion that it came out. And, you know, to see if people respond to it, it just reaffirms what I already knew about this kid. Like, this nigga's fucking nice. Like, kid get busy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we gonna put that shit together right. I don't want nobody fucking this nigga shit up because niggas be hating. You know what I'm saying? Ben Mack is like the new Red and Mess. Y'all know that. Y'all know that.
That's big fact.
He's the charm. You know what I'm saying? Yin and yang. He's the end of my yang. That's my dude right there. That's my motherfucking guy. But don't get it fucked up. I fuck with everybody in Team Fame the same exact way. We all fuck with each other the same way. It's just like on Twitter, y'all, like, you know, y'all see me and Mack more being fools on there. They Duke Nukem and shit like that. Y'all look at that. Shout out to all you Duke Nukems out there, too. We see y'all niggas. You know y'all got ghostwriters. Yo, a lot of their favorite bloggers be their ghostwriters, man. I'm telling you, man. Because I ain't gonna drop no names, but the bloggers know who they are. I think y'all ghostwriters for a lot of these niggas, man.
And a lot of these bloggers, though, be weird as fuck, though, sometimes.
Weirdos. I done had bloggers watch me from the other side of the room, and I know who you are. Cause you're looking too hard, Clint Dexter. You know what I'm saying? But it's all love, man. Like I tell everybody, man, I'm an approachable guy. You know what I'm saying? I've had artists hit producers up like, yo, could you holler at them for me? You ain't got to do that with Bernie, man. Hit me up on my DM. DM me your number, tell me to hit you. I'm going to hit you, bro. I ain't that type of dude. You know what I'm saying? I'm still approachable. I'm going to always be approachable. You know what I'm saying?
I was going to say, too, your energy, too, is incredible. I think that's why I think, you know, I can vibe with, you know, with such street-orientated rappers, too, because that was my past, like, before I cleared myself up, man. Like, that shit, like, that's why when people, like, yo, Lo, you talking to people like Big Twins and you're still being you, I'm like, yeah, because I ain't never changed before.
Yeah, you know, I'm getting to the change. You know, I was talking to, me and Bub Rock have really become good friends. Me and Bubba Rock, that's my guy. You know what I'm saying? And Bub was telling me one day, he said, you know what it is about you? Not to even say it like that on the air. He said, but you was a nigga's nigga. It's a Bernie in every hood, right? You know what I'm saying? That's why niggas gotta love you. And I never realized that. But he's like, you was a nigga's nigga. You the dude that's around the way. Everybody gotta fuck with you. Even if you don't like this thing, you gotta fuck with him. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of get it now. I'm starting to understand why I am and the direction God pointed me and how he sculpted me to be something great, I guess. I'm just trying to live up to the shoes. And I just had my grandfather ahead of my voice, like, you better not fuck up. You know what I'm saying?
Well, hey, man, you're on top of your game right now, man. And
I don't want that old man to wake up out of his grave and kick my ass. Because I think he could do it. If anybody could do it, my grandfather could do it.
Hey, and just for the people listening to K Burns, is the first person to break the hour and a half mark. So it's my guy right here. Longest episode ever.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy, Lo.
That's crazy. That is crazy. I didn't expect that.
Nah, yo, the vibe is real, bro. Like I told you, when you hit me up for the interview, Sean told me about it. I said, yo, I'm with it, man. I like that. I like what you're doing. I already know what you was doing. When you hit me up, like I told you, man, don't hold back. That's my first interview. So we're going to get it wireless. Nobody else is getting this energy.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I'm
too, when I tapped into your life.
I'm going to be on some Chief Keef shit.
See, for big fans.
Hey, how old are you? 300, nigga.
Well,
what's wrong? 300.
I was gonna say too, but that's when I tapped into your live too. That's real. I was like, whoa, this ain't K Burns. And then I was like, yo, is K Burns down for an interview? And then Sean was like, yeah, K Burns down for an interview. I'm like, all right, bet. I'm like, I was shocked at first. I'm like, this is not K Burns.
Yo, I was bugging with, like, cause I'm like, yo, I need to get on it. Mac hit me up and said, I did an interview with King Lo. I said, what? Oh shit, Mac. I'm like, yo, you know, me and Mac, they call us Bernie Mac. They dubbed us Bernie Mac, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, just to have Mac get an interview on there, you know, I owed you that. It was not even a question, you know what I'm saying? Like, you definitely going to do that.
Would you ever consider doing a joint project if you and Mac?
me and Mac doing Kane and Lynch. That's coming out this year.
Yeah, you did say that. And you did say that.
Me and Mac is being very selective about our beats. We being like, this is a real meticulous thing because we know how much, we know how influential this project could be to the game. You know what I'm saying? So we're not rushing it. We're not forcing it. Yeah, we got a release date. We're not announcing it, but it's definitely coming out 2019. I can guarantee that.
I was going to say, too, because when I asked him about that, too, he did say, yeah, too. And I like how you guys are taking your time with that because those EPs, from what you told me, too, some of them were on the spot within 2 days. But you could tell this one's going to be special because you guys are taking your time with this one.
Oh, this is going to be more special. This is going to be more than special. Like, when me and Matt get together, it's like, you know what it is, honestly? I did the Biddy Boys tape last year. You know what I'm saying? This year I'm doing a tape with Mac, and then next year I'm doing a tape with 318 Chase. You know what I'm saying? So I'm taking that time to do a tape with each one of my brothers, and I want to give each one of them my undivided attention for the features, and I want to really be hands-on with this shit, 110% with them.
Hey, man, like I said, like, you definitely know your game, man, so I got to salute you for that, man. And you're a busy man,
too. I mean, I learned this from a very, very smart individual, but a lot of people don't know. You know what I'm saying? My bro, Xavier Smith, is one of two producers that produced In the Morning with J. Cole and Drake. You know what I'm saying? I was there with Menzo just as Wild Hot. I watched these niggas make So Seductive and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? It's too close not to grab it. You know what I'm saying? And I was groomed by the right dudes and just know when it comes time to get professional. It's time and place to everything. We leave the street shit in the streets. We go in these motherfucking offices. We tighten our ties up. We tighten our boots up on the street. We step in the motherfucking business world, you tighten that tie up.
Hey, man. that's a good mentality to have, my guy. Definitely good mentality.
Time and a place for everything. Because, like, let this be known. I'm not the one. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the one. I'm not the C. I'll smack the shit out of any one of these rappers they play with me. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't here for that. I could have just stayed in the streets for that. So I just try to stay around good energy and good people. Like, you see my guys in the back cracking up, they cracking jokes and shit, you know what I'm saying? We having a good time. We in front of the shrimp club, looking good. Shit like Magic City right now.
Now, like I said, too, the reason why I asked this question, too, is because everybody gives a different answer to this question, too, and it's also the last question I asked all my guests, too, so I'm curious what a K. Burns would say to this.
All right, let's shoot. It's a good one. Shoot it.
You got any words for somebody in a dark place trying to see the light?
Say that again? Any words for somebody in a dark place trying to see the light?
Trying to see the light.
All right. Close your eyes, right? Close your eyes real, real, real tight. Close them real tight. When you're at your lowest, you're feeling like shit, close your eyes real tight. Look inside yourself. Tell me what you see. That's the light right there. It's that simple. It's all in you. I teach that to my daughters. I tell it to Mac. I tell it to Chase, I tell it to Fetty, Ecto, Eddie, I tell it to myself. Because we all human. And we all get to that dark place. How about I told you I made all them albums out of that dark place? Them albums with EPs from 2018 took me out of that dark place. But I had to close my eyes real tight and look deep down inside. And I saw the light in me. That's all I can tell you. You know what I'm saying? I've been at the lowest of lows, and I've seen the highest of highs. You know what I'm saying? And I can tell you, it's always light inside you, though. You can't depend on nobody else. You can't find your happiness with nobody else. You can't find success with nobody else. You can't find your health with nobody else. It's all in you. And that light, whoever's listening to this, that light that you're looking for in that dark place, just close your eyes tighter. Really, really, really look deep inside, and I guarantee you, I put that on my team thing chain. I put that on my kids. That light is in you already. You letting the motherfucking world dim in your light, man.
Well, that's a real inspiration answer, K-Burns.
I mean, I'm not trying to be no prophet. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm just giving you my experiences, and I'm gonna tell you how I did it. I looked deep down inside of myself, and I saw the light. It's right there in your solar plexus, right next to your heart. I can tell you where it's at. That's how real it is. It's called your soul, baby. And it's thriving to come out. But you gotta let it out. Don't let the world take your joy. Don't let the world steal your light.
Hey, man. As well, let you know something too, man. You never know who your music can affect too, man. So I'm gonna tell you one thing, man. I'm always gonna cherish your music from here on out now because, like, just that, because of this interaction, man. Like that song on Infamous Villains I told you about. That's my shit forever.
Yo, I deeply appreciate that from the deepest depths of my heart, Lo. Because I only do this to change one person's life. I always said if I could get through to one motherfucker and they come out that dark corner because of me, I did my job, man. Yeah, man. I did my job.
Hey, and that's why I love doing interviews, because somebody's going to grab it. Cause you'll be selling out, so somebody's want to hear what K-Burns got to say.
Definitely, yo. I hope everybody comes fuck with me. Because I'm going to fuck with you back. If you fuck with me, I'll fuck with you. If you don't fuck with me, get away from me. That's how I feel. I'm not supposed to fuck. These niggas is nasty. yeah, we at the strip club, man. It's about to go down, Lo. It's about to go down.
I was going to say, you got it.
I think my brother was too. He was older than that. It was a true route. He's the background, I hope.
Oh, no, you good. You good. You got anything to plug in before I let you go, K-Burns?
Say that again?
You got anything to plug in before I let you go, K-Burns?
Man, y'all niggas, I just love the game. I want the world to just be a better place. Everybody should live and let live and laugh. You know what I'm saying? That's all I can really do. Go to kburns.bandcamp.com. Do what you do. Download it. Listen to everything. You know what I'm saying? Support my boy King Low Cunner, the real podcast. I'm a real simple dude, man. I want everybody to shine and live. Don't just listen to me. Listen to everybody. You know what I'm saying? That's how you get a good scope of the game, and you can really decide who you want to say is the best or who you really fucking with. You know what I'm saying? That's what I say.
Hey, and with that being said, this Lawness interview from the Desk of Low as to date featuring my guy K-Burns.
Holla at me.
I appreciate you, kid, man. Anytime I'm going to go on Wax and say this, man, that was a good interview, my G.
Appreciate it, Low. Real talk.
Appreciate you, my guy.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.